Oh, no yeah. problem.
So it's May 20th, yes? And tell us where we are right now.
Right now we're in the back room of Cody's Market, and basically this is where we do most of our cooking. We do, a huge percentage of our business is home-cooked food, you know, just stuff made from scratch. And years ago the store used to be a little bit different, you know, and in the old days it was all big family, so everything was, you know, it was all like huge orders of pork chops and beef, and everything was sort of gathered up, and then they would make sort of runs to all these families' houses, so everybody had like, you know, standing orders sort of every week, or they would have an order every week, and in the old days, they, like I said, they rounded up all the stuff, and my father would had a big beach wagon, you know, and they would go around to all the different families and drop off all their, you know, food, and every family had their own corner store, you know, like.
In what neighborhood are we talking about?
In Lowell in general. All over Lowell there was, you know, like what they called the Associated Grocer Stores of New England, and, you know, they called them the AG stores, and out of, I think, like 75 or so AG stores, with like the last one, I think, in existence, you know, because, you know, all the big supermarkets came and sort of wiped out all the smaller little, you know, food stores. Now most of the convenience stores exist because of beer and wine and lottery and things like that, you know. The reason why we exist without that is because of our, you know, pork scrap and the, you know, the Lowell's Famous baked beans, the pork pies. So we have a little niche that has kept us in business since 1917, you know. And we're working out of a building that's 100, you know, old, well over 100 years old. So everything, we're sort of grandfathered in every which way as far as now if you open a business, you have to have stainless steel, everything. I mean, there's so many different things, but we're so old that we're literally grandfathered in, you know. It's considered historical, this store, actually, you know. But,
like, and you said you got started. Who started the store?
Well, it was my grandmother's dad. So it would be my, you know, basically like my sort of my great-grandfather.
And his name?
Yeah, his name was Alphege Cody. And he had a daughter, Gertrude Cody. And he opened the store in 1917. And, you know, he just basically it was everybody had their corner store. Like, you know, this neighborhood would go to Bodwin's Market, and everybody was loyal to their own little, you know, corner store. And then he ran that store for years and years. He had a daughter named Gertrude, which is my grandmother. She met my grandfather, Wilfred Levasseur. He started working at Cody's Market. So he's working for his girlfriend's father. So he ended up marrying his girlfriend, Gertrude. And so his boss became his father-in-law. So kind of fun to have your father-in-law as a boss, probably, back it. But that worked really well, and he, you know, ran the store for years and years and years, and then he ended up giving the store to my grandfather. So my grandfather took over the store, but never changed the name from Cody's Market to Levasseur's Market, because it had already had such a good name for years and years and years. So it's just, you know, my grandfather ran the store, and my grandfather actually had a printing business. He actually, had a lot to do with the stock market. He actually was a he was on the board of directors for Associated Grocers of New England. He was, into so many different things. He was always ahead of the curve. He actually pioneered shopping. I mean, the way we shop today in every supermarket. Because years ago, what happened was, like you said, we used to, you know, deliver groceries and everything, and my grandfather figured, you know, wouldn't it be easier for people to come in, just, you know, pick what they want off the shelf and bring it to a cashier, and then, you know, self-service. Sure. So he turned his store to self-service. You know, this is, you know, years and years and years and years ago, and he thought that would work better. And the guys that started Demoulas Market Basket, the Demoulas brothers, they told my grandfather he was crazy, that it would never work. And that's how we shop today store. And
now
my grandfather,
they even make you do the checkout
yep.
yourself.
So, I mean, my grandfather knew that, you know, years and years and years before that was even the way we shopped. He knew that would be, you know, he was always ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. I mean, he bought stocks and telephones because he knew, you know, telephones would be the, you know, it would just, yeah. you know, that was something, a necessity that would keep compounding, you know. He always, you know, really knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, him and my grandmother, they were married 63 years, you know. They had a beautiful marriage, and he relinquished the store to my grandfather when my father was about 30 years old, you know, around the same age as me. And my father would, you know, run the store. My grandfather would take off and go on 3 vacations a year for a week. You know, they would go to, you know, Hawaii, Puerto Rico. I mean, they've been all over the world, you know. And it was really nice because my father would pick up the slack. And that's what I'm trying to do now. It's, you know, my father, you know, has worked, you know, he's 62 years old. He's worked really, really, really hard his whole life. I've watched him, I watched him work, you know, watch the sweat roll off his forehead, you know, and, you know, to give us a good childhood. And he worked hard. So I want to, you know, give back now and take care of my mother and father, like, just like, you know, just like he does with his, you know.
And what's your earliest memories of being in the store?
My earliest memories is making beans. I remember we used to, you know, literally he would make the beans at night, and I remember, you know, we would be little, so that time at night would seem really late to us at night, you know. He'd make the beans around like 7-8 o'clock at night, and I remember you know, sometimes helping him, you know, pour the beans, and I remember, you know, literally having the whole thing in my hand and, you know, trying to make the beans. But I mean, I started, like I said, when I was very, very small. And in the summer times, we'd come here and we'd stamp bags, like I said, and do all, you know, little odd jobs, me and my brother. And, you know, and we would ride our bikes in the parking lot, and, you know, my dad would basically babysit us until my mom would come pick us up in the afternoon. So I've been here in this store since I could, you know, basically since I could walk, you know, and I've been living and breathing, you know, this store. But I've also gone out on my own, and I, you know, I wanted to be a little well-rounded before I took over the business. So I started, you know, I actually worked as a chef. I worked as a waiter. I worked, you know, at a couple of fine restaurants.
Where were they?
I worked at the top of the Hub in Boston, at the top of the Prudential building. I worked for Tosca in Hingham for a few years, which is a very well-known restaurant on the South Shore. It's sort of where all the celebrities dine on the South Shore. I had a lot of high-profile clients when I was there. But and also, I was most recently, I worked at the Stonehenge Inn, which has like the second largest wine cellar in the country and the seventh largest wine cellar in the world. And I actually was handling bottles of, you know, like 1940s, 1950s, you know, bottles of Bordeaux. Like, I think I had, one day I was doing inventory, I was holding a bottle of a 1945 Chateau Margaux. I mean, this is first growth, you know, Grand Cru Burgundy, you know, Bordeaux. I mean, I'm literally at the top of a 30-foot wine tower, you know, counting these bottles. And, but, so, it, you know, I have a, you know, a background in food and wine now. But, and also customer service.
Yes, of course.
I mean, you know, waiting tables, you really, really, it makes you like a pro at customer service. You need to know, you know, let so many things roll off you. You need to be very diplomatic, very tactful, the way you talk to people. You can't, you know, you can't let people hear you, things you say. So you have to be very, 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 you know, careful, and it hones your skills, I think, you know, for being a, you know, a, just a good, you know, person is in general.
Sure.
And having patience, you know, like you, to just hear, you have to have patience. And being a waiter taught me patience. So, and everything I did, you know, learning in these restaurants, I wrote down everything that I ever, you know, came across. I kept everything that ever came across. I'm like type of person, I document everything, take pictures of everything. So, I mean, I learned a lot about, so much about wine. You know, I'm not a court of master sommelier yet, but I know, you know, a great deal of you know, amount about wine. But my knowledge in food really took off when I got into these high-end restaurants.
Oh, sure.
Working with, like,
so
you know.
What was the, this is interesting, and that you would do that and then come back to this family business and talk a little bit about who your clientele is here.
Well, basically, our clientele is neighborhood folks, people that have actually lived in Lowell their whole lives, that, you know, that have just shopped here their whole life. You know, we have elderly people, that there's a big elderly complex. We have elderly people that have been shopping here 60-70 years, you know, women in their 80s and 90s that have literally been coming here since they were kids. So I mean, so that's amazing in itself. We also, I mean, we cater to everyone. You know, Lowell being a multicultural city, you know, we have you know, spinach pie, we have Spanish rice. We try to be multicultural as far as our food too. You know, we try to, you know, carry some, you know, items that would cater to the Asian community. You know, that we really try to, you know, like I said, just be, you know, very multicultural. And we have people that have moved away, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and a half, and every Saturday they come back and get their beans. They'll make the, you know, hour and a half or 2 hour, 3 hour journey to come and get their brown bread, their beans, and they'll probably like stock up a little bit maybe, but they'll still come even though they moved away. And, you know, recently we had one woman that was moving to California, not out of choice, and she was beside herself that she could not get Cody's Beans every Saturday. I mean, it was something that she came and did as a child. It was something that's ingrained in her French-Canadian roots, and she was literally in tears. She was like, I'm not going to get to come here every Saturday and have my hot dogs and beans. She was like going to California, and everything out there is sort of fake and plasticky, and it's just so she actually asked us if she sent us the boxes, the prepaid boxes, if we would send out the same beans and give her the exact recipe, and you know, so that she could try to duplicate them at her house the best way she can, you know. And we actually sent she likes my grandfather's homemade sauce that we make here, mm-hmm. and we sent her when she went off in the plane. She left with like 6 quarts of sauce.
Oh my God.
I think she had more food than luggage.
What's her name?
Her name was Patty, actually. She still sends me little thank you letters and everything, and she really misses the store. You know, so it's this is something that's not just, you know, a regular store. Like, you know, we will bend over backwards for people. If someone comes in and they want potato salad but they don't like onions, we'll whip them up a little mm-hmm. small container of potato salad with no onions. You know, I mean, no place will do that for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we have little old ladies that, you know, been totally abandoned by their family. I mean, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That live in the elderly complex JC place. So they call us. We shop for them. We add it up for them. We call them right back. We just tell them, you know, how much it is. They tell us, you know, I have change for 20. We bring it over. And even if there's, like, heavy, you know, gallons of milk, we'll take them out and put them right in the fridge
service.
For them. You know,
service.
What store will do that for you now? So,
very few.
You know, we try to keep that going. You know, we deliver to some people like that are invalids that can't get out. Uh-huh. You know, my dad even gets tickets on his car when he goes to deliver to these poor people.
Oh, but, man. Can you talk a little bit about what makes Cody's Beans so special?
Well, the thing is, we've been, you know, the recipe was handed to us from Frankie Rochette, who owned a couple, he owned a couple of different businesses in Lowell, and he sort of pioneered the Rochette recipe, the very simple Lowellian, you know, type of bean with just the salt, pork, ketchup, water. That's it. I mean, very simple. The recipe is so simple, but what's special about it is the beans, the California small white beans. It's in the aging. It's in the, you know, like, it's really, Frankie Rochette once said, it's just quality. You always have to have the highest quality ingredients. So we have the highest quality beans from California that have been aged. Some of them that we use have been aged for up to 3 years. So they're, you know, like I said, the seed coats get very, very hard, and they're hard. And so the cooking time, you know, it gets extended, but the beans stay nice and firm and they don't mush up on you, you know, and especially when you reheat them, they stay nice and firm. And also we use salt pork from Canada, and it's extremely fresh. You know, we get it, probably once every couple of weeks, we get a shipment of probably like 20 pound boxes of salt pork, about 400 pounds, and we cut it, we cube it, and put it into 3 pound and 1 ounce containers.
Okay,
so it's very specific. It's like, it's 3 pounds and 1 ounce. Maybe the 1 ounce is for good measure, I don't know, but it's 3 pounds of salt pork, and then the beans is 2 scoops of our special scooper. We have a certain scooper that just works, and then it's sort of like an heirloom. The thing, if I lose that scooper, it'd be World War III. that thing has to have a GPS on it. Really, it's like an heirloom.
Okay.
So and then water.
Water.
And then a squirt of ketchup. That's it.
Just a squirt. They're not really sweet.
For a whole entire pot of beans, you would literally just go. Whoosh, like that. That's it. Just to give it. It's just for basically color, and just for a little, you know, tiny bit of taste, whatever. But what really flavors the beans is the pork, you know, because the beans are like a sponge. But we also make the dark sweet beans. We put molasses, dried mustard, and brown sugar. Basically, that's basically it.
Is that what people normally think of as baked beans?
That's what
Boston
baked beans. Yep.
They're sweet. And
yep.
What's that? Where did that come from? Why is there two different? The sweet and the non-sweet.
Well, the dark sweet beans, that's the sort of Boston baked, you know, bean recipe. The light beans is native to Lowell. That's really, really, when people think of, Lowell's beans, they don't think of dark beans. That does not come to mind. It's the white beans, the light beans. And then other people that aren't from Lowell, when they think of the light beans, they think of those little jars of Campbell's, like, you know, pork and beans. And that's basically sort of what it is, but, you know, mm-hmm. ours is obviously much more refined. So
Did it originate in Canada? In French? I mean, is it like cassoulet or something? Is it...
What's that?
The white bean, the lighter... non-sweet
tea. To be honest with you, I don't know where it originated. I know that, you know, maybe my father can answer that, but I know Frankie Rochette, was the one that actually gave us the recipe, and he would actually come in and check on the beans. He would come in on Saturdays and check on the beans, make sure that we were doing it the right way. Even this is years after he had, sold us the recipe, so we carried on that tradition, mm-hmm. So...
Great. Do you supply diners too in the area?
Oh yeah, we supply a few convenience stores and diners. Yep, there's a Drake & Family Diner, Family Affair, a few different places like that. Mm-hmm. We used to do a lot more as far as convenience stores, but a lot of the convenience stores sort of got bought out by different people that could not manage the bean business very well, mm-hmm. and so a lot of those have sort of fallen by the wayside. So a lot of the businesses now sort of just come back here.
Yeah.
And also Jerry's Beans, there's a guy named Jerry or whatever. I don't even think his name was Jerry.
It's a competitor, right?
But yeah, Jerry's Beans was a competitor, and a lot of times I think people would say, oh yeah, those are Cody's Beans. He would try to sort of play it off, that they were Cody's Beans, but they were a little bit subpar because the beans were a little bit bigger and they didn't taste as good because the salt, you have to use,
salt pork.
A little, probably more salt pork or better salt pork. I don't know what he used, whatever, but, he stopped recently, a few months ago. He just quit. He just didn't doesn't want to make them anymore. He just, and nobody wanted to take over. So Jerry Beans is out of his existence. And you used to go into Hannaford's and all the big grocery stores and see the Jerry's Beans. So all those big grocery stores called us. They wanted us to provide them with beans already put up so they could sell them. And so we'd have to buy all new, tons of more, a lot more pots. We'd have to, it would be a lot more work. And it would just to keep the customers over there. So it didn't make any sense. It seemed to our benefit that those people, instead of if they went to the store to grab beans, well, now that they're going to have to come over to Cody's to buy beans. And while they're here, they might discover some of our other different items that we have, that are, unique to the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Very shrewd. That's boiling. Big boil. What was in there again? Those potatoes.
Potatoes,
yeah.
Yeah. So probably
okay, go ahead. We can just...
strain those real quick.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I know this...
Bring your
bag. I put it in over there. See that? Well, now you're just draining the potatoes so they don't overcook.
Yeah, everything here is, is like, we make steak and cheese sandwiches, and it's like, just like as if you would make it at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And we like, most sub shops, the steak comes frozen, and they sort of ball it up into individual little, amounts, and they weigh it, and then they put it aside, and it sort of turns black and brown, and then they throw it on the stove that's been cooked with a million other things. If here we make steak and cheese sandwiches, we literally have like a little, like a small pan like you would have at your house. We use a beautiful eye round cut right out. We just, cut right out of the plastic, slice it on the slicing machine, to make that really thin shaved steak. It goes right in a pan. We put a little salt, pepper, garlic, and we cut it up with a little fork and knife, and then put the cheese on it, let it melt, and then, we either toast the bun or put whatever, just like you'd make it at home.
Oh, yeah.
And when people taste the sandwich, it tastes so much better because it's, fresh steak. It's never been frozen. So that's why people say, oh, wow, this is, this is really good. You know what I mean? But it takes a little longer. It's, we're not making an extreme amount of profit like the sub shops are, But we are making, we are making a profit, and we are providing, a really good sandwich. And, and we are making people happy. A lot of it is about making money, but it is also about, making, people happy, keeping tradition alive, and things like that. It's not always about, just
profit.
Get it done, throw it out there, and, hope it sticks, It's got to, sometimes you have to just, slow down, make sure things look good, and if we cook so much food that, sometimes something might get passed over and something might be a few days old and it might be just, like a little, out of date or something. And if there's anything wrong, if a customer comes back, we will always, without question, make good and give them, give them what they had, or give them their money back, or whatever they want. Give them, you know, something for free, you know. So it's you know, it's just about treating people really well, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's what's basically, you know, that's what my dad taught me. And
that's your father?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll that's what see. My grandfather taught me. And you know, my grandfather, unfortunately, he passed 2 years ago.
He did.
He had an unfortunate
fall. So was there something about who was king of beans? What was that terminology?
Well, Frankie Rochette was definitely the king of beans. You know, him and his brothers owned diners in Lowell. And Frankie had a son that was an invalid. And Frankie took care of his son for years and years and years. He was, an outstanding, outstanding gentleman. You know, most people would put their son in a home at that age. He was 90-something years old, still taking care of his son. You know, so that shows the devotion, you know, he had towards his son. He was a great man. And he died, I think it was 95 years old, you know. But he used to come in here, like, every 2 weeks. I get emotional, you know, because he used to buy a case of no-salt chips for his son. His just son had this thing. He would always just eat no-salt chips. And so he would come in here and pick up that case, you know, every couple of weeks, and we'd see him. He'd come over, and he would try the beans, and, you know, his hands from working were, like, almost like, you can see mine, how my fingers are starting to turn.
Yeah.
He had arthritis so bad, his fingers were, like, all, you know, turned like that, and he was, you know, kind of hunched over, but it was, you know, you could just see the years of hard work in those hands, you know?
Did he have a market or something? Did
yeah, he had like the hi hat. Him and his brothers. There was like a roller skating place, and but they had him and his brothers had a few different little diners, and you know years ago, and then that's what the sort of you know the he had that Rochette recipe, and then you know gave it to us you know years and years ago,
yeah.
But he passed away you know about 5 months ago maybe.
Oh, six, recently.
Yeah.
Okay. So
4 or 5 months ago, and you know so. And my grandfather basically was the next, you know, in line. But my grandfather, unfortunately, like I said, 2 years ago, he fell down a flight of stairs. He was in perfect health at 85 years old and just fell down a flight of stairs and passed away unexpectedly. So basically, my father, you know, has become the king of beans now.
And his name?
Roger Lavasa, which would make me the prince of beans. I don't know if I want that title, though. I don't know if I'd like to be painted with that brush.
Okay.
But,
we're going to wander around. Thank you. This is great. We might come back with a few more questions.
Yeah, no problem.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm making them today.
We make them. We're having coal in the case like this for Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. So what's left over from last Saturday. And then we'll make them hot Friday and Saturday. I actually make them Friday night before I leave. I put them on and I come in early Saturday. I mean, Thursday night, I you know, and I come in early Friday.
How long
so
do
those
they
are
cook
my,
then?
They cook a minimum of 9 hours, minimum.
9 hours.
That's a, you know, you can force them and make them fell a little bit faster, but we don't, you know. So we make them 9 hours.
So in the old days, I heard up in the St. Lawrence Valley, there were communal... No, that was for ovens. There were communal ovens for baking bread.
Yeah, there used to be here right in Lowell one time.
Was there one?
It was a Brat Soda Company right over here. People would come in and bring their pot all set up, and they'd charge them 10 cents to put them in their oven. That was, of course, that was way, way back.
Yeah.
But they would charge them 10 cents, and it was right over where the parking lot is now, the St. Joe's parking lot. Of course, they knocked that whole section down. But that at one
so there
time,
was a big, an oven.
Brat's Soda Cracker Company, and then they would use their ovens.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Bring
so
your own pots. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, thanks.
Anything else?
What? This is all for the folk festival. I know you know the history. Would you mind? Because this video is going to go up on our Facebook page. Maybe saying who you are and a little something about the beans.
Well, I'm Roger Lavasa, and I've been doing beans since forever. Almost it seems forever. First, we started buying them from Frankie Rochette, and I was just a kid then. And then he took in my father like it was a, you know, like a son. So he says, "Will, I really like you." He says, "Can you do the beans? But you have to keep them the same way." You know, he says, "Don't ever change the recipe, you know, and always keep my secret, you know." And of course, the secret is it's pretty obvious. The secret is use the best ingredients. And you'll be in business for 30 years from now. That's what he told me. So he says, "If you always use the best stuff, you'll always stay in business." So that was the secret. And we took over, and he checked on me for 10 years solid. 10 years, he was in here 5 times every Saturday, you know, helping me water the beans, doing everything. And at the end of the 10 years, he says, And I think you got the hang of it now.
He could relax.
After 10 years. You know, so I says, well, you know, we kept on going.
Yeah.
And like I say, we've been doing it ever since. And that's one of the major reasons why we're still here. And we haven't been knocked out of business by the big competitors. It's like all our cooking.
Yeah.
My father had a lot of foresight. He says, we got to do some cooking. We're going to, you know, like our hamburger. This whole thing from here to there was meats, red meats and pork and chicken from here to there. And he said, and then at the end of the day, there was 5 pounds of hamburger. You'd throw them in the freezer. We had boxes in the freezer that high, boxes and boxes of hamburger stock. He says, hey, we don't have to do that. Let's make some meatloaves. Let's make some Chinese pie. Since that day on, we never had anything left over. You know, we had all our pork went in for our pork scrap and pork pies. All our beef went into, you know, meatloaves. And then we started meatloaves and Chinese pie. And then,
what's Chinese pie?
And chicken. We started cooking chicken, making chicken salad. Chinese pie is shepherd's pie.
Oh, shepherd's pie.
See?
Why is it called Chinese?
Yeah, why is it called
because
Chinese?
In French, we call it tête chinois.
Tête chinois.
Which is translated Chinese pie.
Right. I wonder why.
And every single nationality does the same thing and calls it something different.
That's right.
So we call it Chinese pie.
Right.
So.
There's nothing Asian about it. No, but the French called it that.
That's right. So, I mean.
Well, and I was just curious, you know, I was asking Kurt about why the beans here, using the light bean, and it not being sweet. Did that originate in Canada or in France?
Well, as far as the Rochettes, that's how they made their beans in Lowell. And that's why when James Earl Jones wanted to do a special on us, and you have the tape, he came down here knowing that our light beans was famous. But when they got here, the producer that was here didn't want to hear anything about it. He wanted the recipe for the dark beans. So on that tape, I give the recipe for the dark beans. I sold 60 parts of light and 2 parts of dark, and he wanted the recipe for the dark because he says it's going nationwide. Nobody knows about the light. Well, so anyways, on that tape, I gave a recipe for the dark, but all you have to do is substitute the ketchup for the molasses, brown sugar, and dry mustard, you know? So.
Right, right.
So then you have the same thing.
So they're more savory. And that's what people like.
It's the pork. See, beans are a sponge. Whatever you put in the pot of beans, you're going to taste. You put some extra pork, you're going to be pork taste. If you put a little ketchup, you'll get that hint of the ketchup. If you happen to put an onion, which we don't, you put an onion, you're going to taste the onion. So it's like a sponge. So whatever you put in there, you're going to taste. And it depends what you put in to make it taste like our beans. So
are you proud of yourself?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, he's a smart boy. He has like a photographic memory, you know?
Yeah.
And he's very gourmet. We went over to his house and Mother's Day, and he put on a meal like you get at the top of the Hub or, you know, Stonehenge Inn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very, very smart, you know, and he's very...
You're passing this business down
there? Yes, I'll be the fourth generation. Fourth generation. Yeah, fourth generation. So that's, you know, and so my daughter's a teacher, so she knows better than to work 110 hours a week, I guess.
Well, mention the hours. What would be a typical day?
Well, and like I come in, like this morning, I come in at 4 o'clock, and I'll work to I'll work till 5 if I have to, even after that, but now that I have my son here, I can leave at 3 or 2, you know, whatever. And then on Fridays, I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning, and on Saturdays, I'm here at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I work till usually 5, so that's, you know. You add up all those hours, and then on Sundays and Wednesdays, I'm usually here. But yesterday, I had an accident. I stole one in my eye.
What happened?
I sliced my eye.
How did you do that?
I didn't wear glasses when I was, doing my stuff. With the machine there,
sure.
You know? I didn't wear glasses. And stone fall came up.
Terrible.
I was weed whacking.
Weed whacking, right.
I was weed whacking, and I hit a stone, went in my eye. 15 minutes later, I'm in the eye doctor's.
Is it okay now? Is it going to be okay?
It says eyes heal within 24 to 36 hours.
Good.
It will heal itself. And he gave me antibiotics to put in there. So, you know.
Good.
But this eye is sliced right in there. Right in the eyeball.
I don't know if you're interested in this, and I don't want to interject if you're not. But we may be going to the back and see where you make it. Would you be interested in that?
Did you see the, you know, did you
like,
see?
Yeah, we, I mean, when you, we didn't get the step by step, but we saw where this the pots are.
Well, he can do that.
He can do that.
He can set up a pot for you.
Okay, that'd be fabulous.
You know, with this, you know, scoop it and everything.
Yeah.
Kurt, did you want to set up a pot, like you were making the beans?
Just for
that visual thing, you know, you can set up a pot, and with the thing, you can't put the water in right now because it would mush up.
It would mush up.
Okay. So you can put the pork in there and the ketchup and stuff, you know, and.
As if you were going without the water.
So, you know, like I say, if you want
to
set it up.
Just get a little video.
Yeah.
Would that be possible? It's kind of like, you know, a setup. You're not actually making it.
Just set the pork ready.
I can just take a pot.
Yeah,
take
put
a couple
two scoops.
And I'll
That's
just,
all you have to
I
do.
Can just show them how much pork we put in and then show them about how much ketchup and then, you know.
You can set up, and then you can just put the pot inside. I'll cook it tonight anyways.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Great.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to cook it tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? Sorry I'm late. But I did bring the DVD.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that DVD?
I think so.
Cody's Market with James Earl Jones narrating?
I never saw it, but Millie's told me about it.
It was done ages ago.
Yes, 14, 15 years ago, I think.
Oh, at least.
I would
think. About 94, 95?
Really?
15 years ago.
Where was that featured?
Yeah.
It was on An American Moment. There were all these...
And history that is there to be tasted.
Oh, is that what it was? If you want to help with this
to keep
system.
It pushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Basically, that's, you know, we just, you know, to, you know, to start the oven, whatever. But this right here, so we can get up here to
right.
to the third oven, you know. But basically, what we do is just grab a.
All right. Well, let me get her.
Yeah, I'll get it set up.
All right.
Beans all week long, so we cook pots and we put them in the vegetable chest and we chill them. So then, and then we take the pork off the top, and the pork actually acts as like a sealant, so it keeps the beans like nice, really nice and fresh. So this is basically the finished product. But basically, what goes into making the beans is a bean pot, and this is actually probably one of the newer ones. You can tell it's not as seasoned as some of these older pots. And our, obviously the ovens are very seasoned. They're about, you know, probably 50, 60 years old. But basically what goes into making them is you have the small white California pea beans, which are, these ones here are aged probably about 3 years. And these came from the Kennebunk Bean Company, and they've since gone out of business. And my father, when they went out of business, we actually got, I think, 20 metric tons of beans. So it was 400 100-pound bags. They come in sort of like a synthetic burlap. And we have, I think, maybe 70 of them left, and because we've tried to hold on to those as much as possible. So right now we've been sourcing beans from different companies. Recently we've tried to source beans from a company called N.K. Hurst, which is out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And they actually source their beans. They come from California, and they're processed in either Pennsylvania or, you know, other spots. And then they are sent then to Indiana, and then they're broken up into 25-pound, paper bales, and then they're, you know, shipped out. So what we're trying to do is actually, sort of circumvent N.K. Hurst and go right to the source that has those 100-pound bags that we need. And like I said, we would order. We'd order $40,000 or $50,000 worth of beans at a time. When we do, you know, make an order, it usually was about $40,000 or $50,000, because at the time beans were going, you know, 97 cents a pound. But I actually sourced some beans, and I got a price of like 40-something cents. So my father was like blown away. So he was like really happy that I kind of did some homework.
Beans? No.
No, these are small, PBs, yep, so, small, okay, white California PBs. In fact, I mean, some of them, you know, if you really, you know, if you really look, I mean, are absolutely tiny. And the smaller the bean, the better. I mean, that's literally about a little bit bigger than a BB. But, the, you know, like I said, they vary in size, obviously. But the smaller, the better. And like I said, when you age them, the seed coats get a little bit firmer. They stay firmer. They cook better. So basically, we use two level scoops. Of, and this, like I said, this is the little family heirloom.
Okay, wait a sec. That's it.
Yeah. And it's an exact measurement to get a perfect, you know, pot of beans. It's two scoops, like just like Kellogg's. Two scoops of the dry beans. And then this is our own, actually, Surefine is our own store brand. That's sort of, you know, like the generic type of brand. But that's our, you know, Surefine is our, you know, generic brand. And basically, it's just like a quick squirt. That's it for this whole entire pot. And like I said, it's basically for color. You know, a tiny bit is for taste, really. Most of the taste comes from what we have here.
Okay.
And this is actually... this is probably the best salt pork you can get. It comes straight from Canada, keeping with the French-Canadian tradition. And this is Drummond Export, and it comes actually from Drummondville, Quebec. And this is, we actually get it in these boxes, and they come in actually flat, fat-back sheets. So we actually cut them into cubes, and each bag weighs 3 pounds and 1 ounce of salt pork fat bag. Now this is 100% fat. Some of it does have a little bit of meat on it, you know, throughout the things, you know, throughout the
smells good,
throughout the pork you'll find some that has a little bit of meat, and that's sort of like almost like basically like braised bacon, you know. It's almost like, you know, going towards, you know, your bacon. But this is just, you know, salted fat back. It's really, really fresh. You know, we get it in, like I said, once, you know, almost once a week. And we cook the beans with Lowell water, which is, Lowell has, you know, some of the best water in the country. So,
from the river? Where was it from? No.
No, just regular Lowell tap water. Yep, that's what, you know, we use it. And they're cooked at 300 degrees overnight for at least about 9 hours. Sometimes, you know, the cooking time could, you know, be a little bit, you know, off by, you know, maybe like a half an hour or an hour. And then, like I said, the finished product would be a, you know, scalding hot pot of beans like this. And like I said, some of these get actually put in the vegetable chest. We chill them so that we have cold, fresh beans all week long. We put them in the containers just like, you know, told you Jerry's beans used to do. We have them in our cold case. We do that with the, you know, the dark beans and the light beans. And then basically the finished product is, you know, these are obviously cold, but... And if you can see, they, even when you sort of stir them, they say not to stir them, but they see they have a
firm
texture. And when you reheat them, they come out just as if they came right out of the pot. So they reheat really well. Even in the microwave, they reheat very well.
They smell wonderful.
You see that under a pilot?
Yeah.
Alright. So basically... Basically, that's it. That's what goes into making, you know, the pot of beans. And we actually, we have a, down to bring the beans up, because they're in 100-pound bags, so you can't just kind of pick those up, you know. So we actually, usually me and one other person will go down and each grab an end, you know, so we don't hurt our backs or, you know, anything. And, I mean, Anthony and my dad and everybody can grab one and carry it, but why hurt yourself? So we all go down and grab like four at a time, about 400 pounds, and we put them on. We have a little makeshift elevator here. I don't know who built it, but it's really neat. It goes from the basement up here.
Cool.
And it's like this wicked old-fashioned elevator. I don't know if you want to see it.
Yeah.
And that's what brings the beans up, and then we put them on a specially made old carriage. In fact, the old carriage might be still... Oh, yeah, it's right here. This is the carriage.
Oh, this is it.
I mean, if you wanted, this looks like something you'd see at a, you know, antique, you know, here. I mean, if this is like an antique. I mean, I think my grandfather might have made this, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it was just to carry the beans, and it's something, you know, a lot of things here are sentimental to my father,
yeah.
And a lot of things, you know, my father could replace, he could, you know, he could buy new ones, but a lot of things that my grandfather made, he, you know, it's almost like an heirloom, and he won't get rid of it. He won't part with certain things, you know?
Absolutely. It's worked all this time.
You know, so, exactly.
How old is this building, do you know?
To get the exact age, I mean, I know we were here since, you know, we've been in this spot since 1917.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's at least not, it's at least that old.
Yeah.
And to get the exact, you know, age of this building, you'd have to probably maybe ask my father, and I'm not even sure if he'd have to, you know, probably...
Well,
maybe,
city directory, too.
Yeah,
you
could probably...
We can call the Preservation Commission. I'm just curious, because it's such a great building.
Well,
I
kept adding
this,
on
I mean, if
it.
You look at it, this building has been, like, pieced together. Like, I mean, literally by, you know, my forefather's hands. Like, my dad, I told her my dad and my grandfather actually built this walk-in freezer. I mean, now you buy them from a company, you know, and they come and install them. I mean, they poured the cement, they poured the foundation. I mean, and it still works like a charm. You know, here we are in 2010, you know? So, I mean, even the door, I mean, they made the door. I mean, they, you know, my grandfather and father, they did everything. And even the handle, I mean, still works. It still works. I mean, it has to be pushed in, but
yeah.
It still works. You know, so it's like everything here is like very, very, very old-fashioned.
Yeah, but that's
what makes, you know, you go in the stores and it's like, you know, everything is stainless steel and it has to be, you know, up to code. I told her we're grandfathered in six ways till Sunday.
So the beans are down below. Where are the beans?
Yeah, they're actually downstairs. If you
okay.
want, I can show you the elevator. And with this, we are handicap accessible.
Oh yes, you are.
We technically definitely are. All right.
Okay.
Right now, let's see. Move this.
Okay.
Show this up, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so this is like a dumbwaiter?
Basically, yep. This is.
Oh,
this
thing moves up and down. Oh, shit. Okay.
This is just some crates and stuff here. Let me.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I was.
That's
doing
my dad's
stuff.
Office. Hey, you gotta get. You,
that's a good
actually, before you take a picture,
yeah.
I gotta show you the inside. You'll
right.
laugh your ass off. When the IRS agents come here, they just like take one look and they walk right out.
I see.
Oh yeah, I don't know if it's open. Dad, you got the key to your office?
Oh, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Just to get in there, Todd. Make it hard to get in there. Hold on
a
second.
A customer here.
A customer.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
I just browsed for a little bit.
Oh yeah.
First.
Hold on a second.
You got this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a sign somewhere. 1917. Cody's Market, established 1917.
Yeah.
I think I got that before.
What are you taking?
Oh, I got it right here. Sorry.
Hello.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
We can talk a little bit about.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, this
is
I can feel more here.
This is the elevator.
Oh, wow.
So that goes down to...
Yeah, it goes all the way down. All the way down. This is how to get downstairs. And getting downstairs is, like, completely treacherous.
Yes, I'm sure.
If you... I'll just want to... We have a little small old bathroom here.
Yep.
If you will look down here...
Good Lord. Can I go peek?
I mean, you're talking treacherous. Just be extremely
careful. I will.
Careful. This actually... Look at this. This comes down.
It's like a trap
and
door.
Look, it makes a... Like a walkway to,
oh,
get,
right,
to get to these.
Oh.
I mean, everything here is like, it's almost like little booby traps. And
oh, yeah. So where are the bees?
Over here. We used to actually, they would actually start right here.
Yeah.
When we had the first delivery.
Oh, there they are. Okay.
And now look what we're left with.
Jeez. Oh, so you've gone through all of these beans.
Basically,
there's
yes.
another car. Okay.
Take a shot of that.
There they are. So the humidity doesn't bother them down here?
Nope, they're up on pallets.
Okay.
And they're just sort of, you know, just stacked and, you know, it stays, you know, we have, you know, some motors and stuff all
mm-hmm.
down here, but this is like, you know.
And that's all that's left.
That's basically, that's it, that's all that's left out of all the things, but this is like, you know.
Yeah.
This basement has no other use than to house the motors, to house these beans. Everything else is just like, you know, odds and ends from everywhere, you know. Store a few containers down here, whatever, but basically that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, this place has a lot of wasted space, put it that way. As far as retail, True. You know, it has, like, if I wanted to start a catering business, I would have...
Do you own the building? Does your family
own
the building?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, but yeah, my dad owns the building, so...
Yeah, you would redo, probably.
But, even, you know, like, you could even start a catering business because you have so much room to store things.
Yeah. Right? Wow.
Be very careful, ladies.
Here's the office.
This is the funny part.
Okay.
My father's the most organized businessman in Lola.
Okay.
Do you want to take a shot of his file cabinet?
Is that where the recipe's kept?
That's why you'll never find anything.
It's just perfect. But he knows where everything is.
He knows where everything is.
Yeah.
That's at one of the road races. We do tons of road races.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll bring the beans and stuff like that. This is actually my grandfather's old-fashioned recipe for this pig spaghetti sauce. And that's his handwriting. So, you know, my dad, if you ask my dad about my grandfather, 2 years later, he'll still start, like, you know, choking up. It's really, really, even me, I can't still, 2 years later, it stings like it happened yesterday. Because he was, you know, such a...
I remember him always working in that middle room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when they called, I thought it was my grandmother. My grandmother has diabetes. She's had colon cancer, breast cancer. She's had a hysterectomy. I mean, you name it, my grandmother has it. She's a medical mystery. Okay? So I got the call going to work one day Grandpa's dead. And I said, I thought that they meant grandma because I was expecting that. I was ready for that, you know? I mean, here it is, two years later, my grandmother goes out more than I do. She goes out 3-4 times a week. I don't even go out 3-4 times a week. She's 86 years old and she looks like $1 million. You would never know that she has all the problems she has.
Yeah.
You know, but my they were married 63 years. My mom and dad have, you know, they've been married for I think 34 years or almost 35 years now going on. So, you know, there's a, you know, they it's sort of a tradition in our family, you know. You know, everything is tradition. It's almost like everything is history repeating itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Everything, you know, that was a picture of my grandfather's garden. He used to grow 400 tomato plants every year. He would have, supply our store with native tomatoes, native cucumbers, and, you know, we'd have all the native produce over there. But he had that garden. Everything was in perfect rows. He had an electrical fence around it. So, you know, I mean, it was like, the garden was absolutely gorgeous. You know, he had pictures of, there was cherry tomato plants that were like 12 feet high. I mean, they were like, looked like grapevines.
And where in Lowell was this?
It was actually my grandparents' house in Draket, on Nashua Road in Draket. Just before where that big fork is, and there's like a big field.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the left, there's a few houses where all the Greek people live.
Yeah.
My grandmother's house is right in that little row there.
Okay.
But yeah, I just wanted to show you. And this is actually my mother. She's there. My parents have the motorcycle, and they go out motorcycle riding and stuff. And but my mother, she got sick the last couple of years, and she's just got better.
Oh, cool.
She recently got better, and she was going downhill fast.
Mm.
She went to Boston. They took care of her, and she bounced back.
Oh, great!
That's
good.
But she we had a little scare a few
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, the women.
So
family.
Just wanted to let you.
Oh, that's great!
See,
yes,
fabulous. See the office.
Oh, a little place. It's like a little boat.
Yeah, this is
take
actually
a nap.
There's been times around the holidays when my father's worked, you know, 20-22 hour days, and he comes in here and he takes a quick nap and goes right back to work. I mean, so
I believe it.
Wow. That's sorry.
Hard work.
A lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. We've taken you away from your work.
That's all right.
I will send you the letter agreement and just some other details.
What do you think? It's fabulous. It's a real.
Like you said, I have a.
I wish there were more places like this around today. The way things used to be.
Couple of local treasure pictures, you know, of like articles and stuff like that. I can bring a few things like
Perfect.
That, you know, to bring there. And if you want, like, I don't know if we should bring like a pot. I could even bring like a, you know, a pot of beans. I don't know how it works.
Oh, yeah.